If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Terry Savage is always at terrysavage.com, and she joins us Wednesdays on WGN. Hi, Terry.
Hello. I'm getting warmed up. I'm sitting here answering questions on my blog while I was listening to the commercials.
What's the number one question or topic you get from people?
Yeah, I was thinking that I usually get a feel for the economy by the trend of the questions. So for the last 6 or 8 months, the chicken money category, you know, I answer these all in categories on my blog. And for the last 6 months or so, 8 months, it's been chicken money and treasury bill related kinds of questions. Now I'm starting to see debt related questions. And I noticed that because, I put them all in categories as I respond, and you can look them up by category. And I'm just beginning to see things like, do I cancel this credit card? And just a few questions about, how do I deal with my credit card debt? I will know we have a recession coming when I get lots of questions like, where do I get help? Or how do I consolidate credit card debt, which is a bad idea. So I think we're just moving towards a recession. We're surely not there yet.
Hmm. Do you think that it's going to be a soft one, the recession?
I don't make my money with a crystal ball.
Well, you just said that people tell you what's going to happen in the future.
I haven't seen, it's just starting, John. Everybody is still, did I miss the stock market? And you know not to ask me that because I never know that. But the big questions are still, where do I put my chicken money? There was a whole wave of fear a month or two ago leading up to the debt ceiling crisis. So I had a whole wave of that, of reassuring people that, you know, that it would make a deal. We were not going to default. Your money in the bank is safe. And I'm just seeing this little pause. It's going to be interesting to see what the Fed says today.
Do I get to ask you that, or are you going to say, don't you dare ask me that?
No, the market, the futures market is like 99.9% sure that the Fed will pause today, right? And the word is skip. Well, that does that mean they'll say, but we're probably going to do it in July? Do they say, did they give any indication if this is the end or merely a pause or merely a skip to next month? They've had some better inflation numbers, but we're not where they want us to be.
I got to tell you, Terry, I know they wanted it 2%. If you were falling from the sky and you were at 30,000 feet and you wanted to be at 0 feet and safe, you're not going to get there until you go through 20,000 feet and 15,000 feet. So this observation that we're not at 2%, I'm like, duh, that's because we're at 6%. So the only way to get to, you're following me on this, to 2% is to go to 5 and 4 and 3. That's not a problem. That's a process.
So there's, everybody looks at the Fed, at the voting members of the Fed, at the presidents of the Federal Reserve Bank, all of which contribute input to this decision, as if they have some special power.
Yeah.
Now, I could go out and just looking at, I mean, there must be 14 or 16 experts on CNBC every day, depending on which show you tune into. We could throw a dart and pick any 14 or 16 of those experts and get divided opinions on whether we're going into recession or we're not, whether it'll be soft or hard. Why do we think that these Fed officials have the ability to judge where the economy is going when we know, and we find interesting debates on TV all day long or on Bloomberg or, you know, on Fox Business. We find interesting debates, but we never think, well, let's take a vote. Okay, probably these six people we like agree there'll be a recession. We know people can't do that. Markets are having a tough time predicting the future, and that's where money puts its mouth.
Well, can I tell you where my gut is? I'm generally optimistic that we haven't gone to hell in a handbasket of late, and maybe it's down the road. I think if there's a recession, it's a soft recession. The markets are actually still doing relatively well. They're off their highs, but the S&P's had a nice run. And frankly, we're not in some death spiral with our retirement assets. So I'm general, and inflation is coming down. People don't complain about eggs. Maybe I have a little more money than the average person, but I also don't hear everybody else going through the kind of anxiety that we've been through in the past. I'm optimistic about where we are right now.
Well, good for you. I'm pretty optimistic, too. But I don't think we've repealed the business cycle. And I'm remembering that every time where we feel so complacent about how everything will work out so well, there's always a rude awakening. I'm of the opinion that the market always fools the greatest number of people. So I never try to judge when or where that'll happen, but to be balanced. So I have enough to be happy about in my chicken money and enough to be not too worried if the market does go down in my investment money.
Our number is 312-981-7200. You may have a question about student loans, too. I know Terry has something to say about that. I saw a headline this morning that said you should have been paying on your loans all along. By the way, speaking of chicken money, listen to this. Jane, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Terry, what's chicken money?
Okay, chicken money is something I coined maybe 35, 40 years ago. Chicken money is defined as money you cannot afford to lose. Now, it happens as you get older. You cannot afford to lose.
Okay.
As you get older and you get more conservative and you don't have time to recoup investments in the stock market, you have a greater percentage of chicken money, but it's not about being old. Let's suppose your kids are off to college next year and you've been investing in a 529 plan. You move it into the safest option because it's about your time horizon. You're going to need that money in a year or two. And if the market does go down, you don't want to be having to take it out at a loss. So chicken money belongs only in short-term FDIC-insured deposits, money market deposit accounts, money market mutual funds, treasury bills. You don't get rich, but you never get poor in chicken money.
Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. Every now and then we talk about it. It's good that once in a while we update people on that. How about this question? I'm selling my house and will get a sizable equity payout, more than $500,000. Where do I put it? I'm 60.
Well, for starters, they're going to wire you the money. I would, if you have no idea what to do about it, here are the two things I would do immediately. Number one, I would open an account. Oh, first of all, I would think about how I want to title the account that I open. Is your home in the name of your revocable living trust? If so, open a bank account at Chase or a big bank in the name of the revocable living trust and send the money there. Then you don't want to be over the insured limit, so open an account at treasurydirect.gov, at terrysavage.com, under financial links. There's an article, How to Buy Treasury Bills, and buy some 13-week treasury bills, and just keep it safe while you do some financial planning. You know whether, A, you're going to buy a new place, maybe in a warmer climate, any minute, or whether what your financial situation is. So you need some help about, where's this money going? How long does it have to last? How does it fit into what I already have in my retirement plans? For that, I suggest you go to at terrysavage.com. In the top little boxes, it says, find your trusted financial planner. And there you will learn about wealthramp.com, which is a service that matches you with fee-only fiduciary financial advisors, my friend Pam Kruger. We do a podcast together. I love what she's done because I don't give individual recommendations, but all the planners in Chicago that are listed on her site, I know, and they're all great people. So number one, keep it safe. Number one, decide how to title the account. It's really important. You should have had an estate plan. Probably you should have a revocable living trust. And especially if your house was not joint tenants, but in a revocable living trust, you should open the bank account in that name, buy some treasury bills, and then spend some time planning. Don't rush.
Let me ask you this about that. This person said, I'm selling a house. I will get a sizable equity payout, more than $500,000. Mm-hmm. Where do I put it? I'm 60. If that's the house you're living in, you might be buying a new house.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, but either way, I think one thing the person must be thinking about is the tax consequences.
I was going to mention that, but that was not the question. If you have a capital gain on your house, if it's in joint name, you can exclude $500,000 of gains. But if you own it yourself, and let's say you bought it If you're 60, say you bought it when you were 20-something and you paid $119,000 for it, and now you're selling it for, say, $500,000, your gain as a single person, you exclude $250,000 of gains. But as a, and so there will be taxes on the difference between $119,000 and $250,000.
And what if it's not your principal residence? If it's
Oh, I assume you're talking about your principal residence. If it's not your principal residence, then there will be a lot of tax implications,
yeah,
depending
no
on what you wrote off over the years. So, yeah, that's why I said you need some financial planning help. And that, for the moment, you plop it in someplace safe. It's important how you title it. So, again, that I made that point. Number two, it's $500,000. I don't like leaving money over the insured limit anywhere. I don't expect the world to end. It's a matter of principle. So when you put it in that account, then you can put $300,000 up in treasury bills for 13 weeks while you spend some time doing some planning.
Mark, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Guys, I have 30 seconds here before a break. But Mark, what was your basic question for Terry?
Terry, when it comes to short-term stock market investing, say less than 5 years, would you consider yourself a contrarian?
I consider myself an idiot.
Okay. I was
a founding member and the first woman trader on the Chicago Board Options Exchange. You need to know yourself. One of the first things I realized is I'm not good at speculating, and so I don't speculate. I'm pretty much a long-term investor, I have a pretty good, I have a great track record at it, but you'd have to be a genius because when I started investing, the Dow was like around 1,000 in the early 80s. So all you had to do was be there.
You can always find Terry's wisdom at terrysavage.com and listen for her Wednesdays here on WGN. Terry, more calls and text messages for you.
Tell me what you thought of that last one, which was asking me if I was a good, they said investor, I said speculator.
They said contrarian. He said, Terry, you sound like a contrarian.
Right.
Are you a contrarian? And you said, well, I'm not smart enough to know. I don't trade or give advice on short-term stock investments.
Right.
I think that was your point. And I think, listen, Terry, because you have famously said nobody ever went broke betting against America, that you believe in the
American
stocks.
Warren said that. I just quote him all the time.
Don't you endorse that view, though? You think that equities for a long enough time horizon are a wise place to put your money, right?
I'm living proof of that.
Okay. That's the one side of Terry Savage. On the other side, though, when someone says, what should I do with my money, you seldom say, well, I would just get in the market now. It's down because you're not a market picker. But that makes, I think there's a conundrum. They're trying to figure out, is Terry like pro the stock exchanges, or is she not so sold on them, particularly right now?
And I will say what I've always said. I've never changed my tune. I look back at my very first book, which I can reach for. It's kind of yellowed now. It was called Terry Savage Talks Money, The Common Sense Guide to Money Matters. I will tell you when this was published. I have to look. But 1990 by Dearborn. When my first chapter was The Language of Money, Bulls, Bears, and Chickens.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's the same book, by the way, I wrote the latest edition of called The Savage Truth on Money. I've never changed my tune. And I talk about mastering the stock market and understanding and how over the long run, your money works for you in a very positive way. 1990 is like, how long ago is that?
Well, that doesn't make you sound like a contrarian. It doesn't make you sound like a contrarian.
No, I've always said the same thing. Be invested. Don't try and beat the market.
Be the market.
Right. And I look back because I was putting my money where my mouth was then. I was saving like a maniac. My mother taught me that.
But don't you think, if I may, Terry, that within the next 5 years, I'm not going to invest on your answer to this question, but don't you think the markets are going to be in a better place than they are now, that they will be higher than they currently are, and that they'll be higher than they currently are by a measure greater than inflation?
Well, here's what I know for a fact. I don't have to guess. There's never been a 20-year period, John,
yes,
where you've lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company American stocks with dividends reinvested and even adjusted for inflation. So I know that if you have a 20-year time horizon. Now, look, what happens if you retire at 65? You still have some money that has a 20-year time horizon because you hope to be around at 85. And we know that portion, well-diversified, S&P 500, should beat inflation. inflation. So I think when I'm 84 or 5 or something, I hope I'm still around, that I will still have a significant component of my money invested in the stock market. Now, but here's what that says about me. I hope to have money left over at the end. And I hope that I'm investing in that case for my children or grandchildren. So if you are, though, going to be down to your last X thousand dollars, then maybe when you're 83 or 84, you want it all in chicken money. So
yeah, sure.
That's the whole point.
I get that.
I try not to. I'm not being flip. I don't want anyone to follow me blindly. The market's going up or going down. Over the long run, the market's going up. Over the long run, you'll come out ahead. In this stock, in that tech stock, will it be AI? It was nursing homes in 1972. Then when I first started investing in the stock market, nursing homes, because everybody's going to get older. They're out of business now. It was gambling stocks. It was .com. Where's the pets.com sock puppet? It's always something. It was the metaverse in recent memory. Who talks about the metaverse anymore?
Bitcoin.
I mean, I know they have.
No, it's Bitcoin.
Okay. And Bitcoin's still around, but it's not at 67,000. And is it AI? And is it the new chip makers? And which chip makers? That's not the way I approach it, because it's a full-time job. And even the people who do it full-time, look back at a column I wrote just 3 or 4 weeks ago when Standard & Poor's came out with its SPIVA, Standard & Poor's Investment Valuation Scorecard. And only half of the large cap equity managers beat their benchmark index. And over the long run, it's a much lower figure. So why try and beat the market? Just be there. And don't agonize over it. All you have to agonize over is what portion of your money, given your lifestyle, given your income, given your outflows, age, emotional tolerance, what portion should be invested? And I learned this, I'll tell you how long, nobody remembers Gary Brinson, but he was the first guy, he was a brilliant market guy in Chicago, and he said that the most important decisions you make are not when to be in or when to be out, or not what stocks to buy, but the portion of your asset allocation that's devoted to equities. These are lessons. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've actually done it. And these are the lessons I've learned. I've made, you know, I bought Amazon the week I learned that it sold more than books. Don't ask me how long ago that was. Should I have bought 10,000 shares? No, I would have. Yes, I wish I had. But for every great, brilliant idea I thought I had, I've made a dumb mistake, and they either still sit in my portfolio because I'm hopeful they'll come back.
Yeah. I want to take more calls. 312-981-7200. This is maybe a simpler question from Ann. You're on WGN. Ann, what can we do for you?
Good afternoon. Terry, I did purchase a treasury bond. You indicated yesterday, I believe, or recently, how to enter beneficiaries. And I didn't quite catch it.
Did you purchase a savings bond or a treasury bill?
You know, I think it's a treasury bill.
Where did you go to buy it?
No, they both go to the same place, treasurydirect.gov. Look, if you bought...
I wasn't asked to determine which.
Okay. You probably have a maturity of less than 6 months.
Okay.
Now... You want to name someone as a beneficiary. Why?
I don't know. It's usually what you do when you open accounts.
No, you do that when you open a retirement account, and your account isn't a retirement account. What you first need to do is, have you made a will or an estate plan?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And do you have something called a revocable living trust as your estate plan?
Revocable. I don't have a trust. I have a will.
Okay. You just made a will.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a checking account. Probably the balance is $2,000 or $3,000 in it. When you die, all those accounts, your treasury account and your checking account, will be part of your estate. And you, in your will, you wrote, "I want everything to go to my son or my daughter." I assume you're not married.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so no joint name. So in your will cover who gets what out of every all your assets. The only thing that has a beneficiary is typically is your IRA or your life insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. So so you weren't asked, and even if you could, you don't need to worry about that. And
you don't need to worry about it, just like you don't need to worry about it's in your checking account or your money market account.
It's good to know.
But just go to terrysavage.com. On the front page under links, there's a little video that says Terry Talks Wills, Trusts, and Estate Planning. And you'll see why, as a single person, you might want to create a revocable living trust. Title all those accounts like Treasury Direct in the name of your living trust. Won't change anything. When they mature, you'll open a new account, use your Social Security number in the name of your trust, because then you name someone who can handle those things for you if you're incapacitated. Not dead, but incapacitated.
That's all good advice. That's Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. Here is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A startup focused on preventing food waste has raised $10 million in a Series C round of funding. Winnow, with its North American headquarters in Chicago, uses artificial intelligence to cut food waste. Chicago Winnow reports the technology uses AI to better understand what's being wasted in kitchens and then applies advanced analytics to provide chefs with data needed to cut that waste. Winnow was launched in 2013 and recently partnered with IKEA to cut food waste by 50% in stores worldwide. Experts say $77 billion worth of food is wasted in restaurants annually. Chicago-based McDonald's has been ranked one of the world's most valuable brands. The Kantar Most Valuable Global Brands report puts the Golden Arches at number 5, up from 6th place last year. Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon have the top 4 spots. According to the report, the total brand value of the world's top 100 brands is nearly $7 trillion this year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, now let's update everybody on the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and here we go.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And I'll tell you why after we thank the Chevy Silverado HD for being our sponsor today. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, this is arguably the most wonderful time of the year because sidewalk and patio seating is back at restaurants. I got a note from Pippin's Tavern on Wabash in the Loop that their new pet-friendly patio is now open, and in this email it said Pippin's uses farm-to-table meat and other ingredients. Curious, I sent a reply asking if that's really true or just PR hype. It's true, and the supplier of their meat is Slagle Family Farms, about 100 miles south of Chicago, a fifth-generation operation headed by Lewis John Slagle.
My great-great-great-grandpa settled a mile from where my wife and I live. So our family has been farming here for over 125 years.
And after decades of raising livestock, the Slagles decided to cut out the middlemen, meaning the big packing plants.
And marketing it to people that really want to know where the food's coming from and how it was raised and so on.
And with an eye on selling their meat to Chicago's restaurants.
Just picked up a copy of Chicago Magazine.
And went down the list of high-rated restaurants.
I did cold calls for maybe a year. Got turned away plenty, but got enough chefs that were interested in letting me stop by.
Yeah, word of mouth grew, and the Slagle family brand is all over Chicago now. As a small packer,
the challenge from our perspective is we do have to sell every part of every animal.
Which created another opportunity.
We started a raw pet food brand as well called Farm to Bowl.
Beef, pork, poultry, eggs, they raise and process it all at 2 USDA inspected plants in Forest, Illinois. And customers concerned about where their food comes from have questions.
What breed the livestock is, or if it had access to the outside, which is important to us.
And they've got some new things happening there, including a new smokehouse and charcuterie equipment. You can find out more at SlagleFamilyFarm.com. From the farm to your belly, today is National Cucumber Day. It's National Strawberry Shortcake Day, and you can wash it down with bourbon. National Bourbon Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage, we've got a few more minutes and plenty more calls.
And two quickies. Number one, we reminded me, it's not only Flag Day, it's the last day you can file your income taxes to avoid huge penalties after 60 days, which is today, June 14th.
Oh.
If the amount due is $435 or less, the late penalty is $435. If the amount due is more than $435, It's always at least $4.35.
Seriously.
And would be much larger. So go to the post office, register and mail. Just file the return at least, because it's the late filing penalty that really gets you. So today is the last day. And those who have quarterly estimated tax payments are due tomorrow, go to the post office, register and mail, return receipt requested. And I want to do one other thing. I want to go back to the last woman who called. I started to go down that track and then I didn't. I started telling her, oh, she really has to, she must create a revocable living trust.
Yeah.
But I have written an article about how to add a beneficiary to your entire Treasury Direct account, whether you bought T-bills or whether you bought Series I bonds. And if you go to the terrysavage.com, there's a whole complete explanation of how to add a beneficiary. And it is complex. There are 9 steps.
Huh.
But read that article called How to Buy T-Bills. Scroll down. There's a section called Adding a Beneficiary. You have to create an account registration. I don't even want to get into it because we only have a few minutes.
Yeah.
If you want to add a beneficiary to your existing Treasury Direct account, you can choose sole owner, primary owner, or beneficiary. Create an account for that person. Click, et cetera, et cetera. Follow the instructions.
612 said, I will never forget the incredible work Terry Savage did for WGN listeners when the pandemic hit. She provided valuable information on federal stimulus and state benefits that I was unable to find anywhere online. She was a lighthouse in a storm. Thank you. Boy, remember
all
of the frustrations we had with people. A quick question from one of our listeners here. Tom, how can we help you? You're on WGN.
Hi, I'm 68, retired, no debt. I have about $250 that I want to kind of put somewhere more than what it's getting. Do you prefer a mutual fund index or an ETF type of index? And also, I'm kind of confused by all these online high interest rates, savings, checking accounts. Is one any really better than the other? Or should I just go for the highest rate?
Okay. Number one, Tom, this all has to be answered in context. And I'm not going to ask you to answer this now, but the question is, are you married? You're retired. Have you done a budget for what your income is and what your costs might be? Have you looked at your health care? Have you made an estate plan? How much can you afford to be investing for? You've got 20 years for sure. Please, I'm knocking on wood. So you should have some invested. For that portion, I would suggest going to Fidelity or Vanguard. Now, is it in an IRA? That's another question. Are you rolling over?
I do have some in IRAs, and I do have a pension fund.
Mm-hmm. You get a pension check every month?
Yes.
Okay.
So I can be a little bit more risky, I suppose.
Okay. So for the investment part, just go to Fidelity or Vanguard, roll your IRA or your 401k, and take a portion and put it in the S&P 500 stock index fund. But what you really need to do is put all this in context. Because just me flinging out, yes, in stocks, you don't need to go speculating. Go buy an S&P 500 fund. In interest rates, you don't need to be running around the country finding the highest yields. Just go to treasurydirect.gov and buy T-bills. But the real thing you need, I think, from what your question is someone you can trust to look over your whole picture and say, did you set some aside in case you need long-term care? Oh, my wife is a nurse. Well, that might be okay. I might not need that. So the financial planning part of this is what's missing, the overview. And for that, you go to wealthramp.com, WEALTHRAMP.com. It's like match.com for trusted, fee-only, fiduciary financial advisors. You may only need one session, or you may sign up for a once-a-year review, or you may need a whole plan. But these are people you can trust. They're not trying to sell you anything. There's no hidden commissions. No, we'll buy this life insurance and I'll get a commission.
Yeah,
none of that.
Yeah. We're out of time. Tom, I think that's a good start. I hope that helps. I'm sure
that was wealthramp.com. Someone said repeat that.
TerrySavage.com. Thank you for your help. The Fed makes an announcement at 1 o'clock. We'll keep everybody posted. And Terry, thanks for your time.
Thank you, John.